Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back into Mitten Madness. Getting ready for an hour of everything happening around the state of Michigan in the sports world. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're ready to get after it for another weekend. We're going to get into a ton of what's happening around the state, including Michigan and Michigan State, what they have popping off on the hardwood for their respective teams. They're also going to battle on the ice rink this weekend. We'll touch in on that. The Super Bowl is obviously coming up tomorrow, so that's a big notch for the weekend. And of course, the Pistons, as they made moves at the trade deadline, are looking to remain near the top of the Eastern Conference and the top of the NBA. And then you have the Red Wings, who have been exceptionally great so far this year, looking if they can keep that momentum and continue after the All-Star break, which they are going to get into in just a moment. They also have the Olympics break. So there's multiple guys from the Red Wings who are going to be playing on the Olympics, or I think just Dylan Larkin, maybe multiple. We'll touch in on that and let you know in just a moment, but there's plenty to dive into. I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Excited for another weekend of sports. Michigan taking down Michigan State in basketball last week. Yep. Run it up. Made me very happy. Two top 10 victories last week. And then they came out and started this week in exceptional fashion against Penn State. And then lacrosse is up and running smooth fashion. No practice this weekend because of the Super Bowl. So kind of get to take a break and breathe, getting my high school schedule together, ready for that spring season to come about as well. So hopefully you are excited and had a great week and are ready for the weekend that we have coming up. But with that being said, it's time for us to get into the exciting parts of the show. The 10th ranked team in the country is currently the Michigan State Spartans. Things have been a little iffy for them in their last couple of games. The last time we talked, they had just come out of a game against Michigan that I hadn't seen yet. So let's talk about it. Michigan Wolverines, the third ranked team in the country, improved themselves to 20-0, 10-1 in the Big Ten with an 83-71 victory over the Spartans, which dropped them to 19-3 and 9-2 in the Big Ten. Looking at Michigan State first, Jeremy Fears Jr. did what Jeremy Fears Jr. does. 9 for 20 from the field, 12 of 14 from the free throw line for 31 points. He also added a seven assists with just two turnovers in his 35 minutes of play. Cohen Carr led the Spartans with rebounds with seven, six on the defensive end, one offensive. The Spartans shot 37% from the field, 17 from the three-point line, 85% from the free throw line. They had 14 turnovers and 36 rebounds. They led for 1% of the game, and their largest lead of the game was just two. On the other hand, it was Michigan with Yaxel Landenborg going for 26 points and 12 rebounds on 6 of 13 shooting and 13 of 15 from the free throw line. Also had Elliot Cadeau with 6 assists, 2 turnovers, and 30 minutes of play. 44% from the field, 38 from 3, 88 from the free throw line for Michigan. 13 turnovers, 36 rebounds, led for 92% of the game, and their largest lead was 18. So there weren't too many times in this game where Michigan felt like they were in trouble. Michigan State did claw back, was able to tie this game and take a brief lead for a few moments before Michigan came storming back and then absolutely ran away with it at the end of this game. There was a lot of talk about, you know, some of the plays from Jeremy Fears Jr. He tried to trip Yaxel Landenborg on a play. He tripped LJ Kaysen on a play. He pushed Yaxel on a couple plays from behind. It just wasn't good play from him. There was some foul baiting that some people didn't enjoy. And well, while he was able to go out and put up 31-7, the image that many people left this Michigan State-Michigan game feeling about Jeremy Fears Jr. was not great. It started to reiterate what a lot of people were already saying, and that he kind of doesn't always play by the rules. And some of that was on display in this game against Michigan. But they did have another game that week. It was against Minnesota on the road. And, well, now may be a time for Michigan State fans to start to ask some questions because, well, they lost this game to Minnesota, 76-73, looking for a bounce-back game, and they didn't quite get a bounce-back game. In fact, things turned out very differently for them. As I mentioned, they lost this game. Cohen Carr had 16 points to lead the Spartans, 5 for 11 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Jeremy Fears Jr. had 11 assists, 2 turnovers, and 32 minutes of play. Jackson Kohler, 9 rebounds, all in the defensive end. Spartans shot 45% from the field, 38% from behind the arc, 71% from the charity stripe. They had 9 turnovers, 39 rebounds. They did not lead at all in this game. And once again, Jeremy Fears picked up a technical foul in this game for a kick to the groin of one of the players for the Gophers, Langston Reynolds. So that was a big issue in this game. A couple other plays where he tried to trip people and he hit a player in the face. Those weren't called for fouls, but the technical foul was enough. He was benched, and Tom Izzo also said he may be benching him again in the future, not starting him in some games or not playing him for the normal amount of minutes that he normally gets. Meanwhile, Minnesota, Jalen Crocker Johnson, 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from the free throw line for 22 points. Langston Reynolds had 8 assists, 1 turnover, and 37 minutes of play. And Bobby Durkin, 8 rebounds, all of them on the defensive end. As I mentioned, the Spartans did not lead at all in this game. There are a couple times in this game where they had some momentum and were able to draw it close, but Minnesota was able to run away with this one and withstand the drive and comeback by Michigan State late in this game. Michigan State's now 19-4 and 9-3 in the Big Ten. The Gophers improved to 11-12, 4-8 in the Big 10. That's a huge loss for Michigan State. Most likely going to drop them out of the top 10 when the new rankings come out. And now they're on a 2-game losing streak as they welcome Illinois into town. They're going to be coming to the Breslin Center. Illinois is the 5th-ranked team in the country. They're 20-3. They're 11-1 in the Big Ten. They're led by freshman Keaton Wagler, who shoots 48% from the field, 80% from the free throw line for 17.9 points per game. He also has 4.3 assists with just 1.5 turnovers and 32.2 minutes of play. And they're 5-0 in their last 5. Impressive wins over Purdue and Nebraska while also taking care of business against Northwestern, Washington, and Maryland in that span as well. Michigan State, obviously, the 2 losses to Michigan and Minnesota. They did beat Rutgers in overtime and handle business against Maryland with no problem, and a dub against Oregon. Michigan State leaders need to do more to help them out. Jeremy Fears doing a lot on the offensive end with 14.7 points, 8.9 rebounds, 2.2 turnovers, and 44.8% from the field and 31 minutes of play. Colin Walton leads their team with 100% field goal percentage, 0.3 points and 1.3 minutes of play. Kohler has 9.1 rebounds. Fears also has 1.3 steals, and Carson Cooper has 1 block with 0.7 steals and 7.2 rebounds. They score 78.9 points per game, which is 141st in the country, 41.1 rebounds per game for 29th, 18.8 assists for 19, and they give up 64.9 points per game. They also have a game against Wisconsin coming up next Friday, a team that did beat Michigan earlier this year, and they are on the road. This will be at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. That's going to be huge for Michigan State and what they have coming up. If they're able to win their next 2 games, they get right back into the conversation for the Big Ten title, and their resume gets a little more impressive. But that's going to switch us over to the other team that plays basketball in the state of Michigan in the Big Ten. It's the Michigan Wolverines. We're now going to talk about the Michigan State game. We just went through that and how they were able to come out victorious. But they did play a game Thursday against Penn State. It was 10-13. They have one lone win in the Big Ten. Penn State's lone Big Ten victory came against Minnesota, 77-75. But they did only lose to Michigan earlier this year by two, back in December. This season, well, Michigan said, look, we're going to sweep you, but the second game is going to be much, much different. And that was the case. Freddie DeLeon V had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He did almost everything for Penn State. He went 8 for 21, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, and he had no turnovers in his 40 minutes of play. Penn State shot 37% from the field, 10% from the free throw line, or from the 3-point line, and 81% from the free throw line. They had 5 turnovers, which is phenomenal against Michigan, or really any team in the country. 21 rebounds. They led for 1% of the game, and their largest lead was 2, which was pretty much to open the game up. And then after that, it was all Michigan. Namari Burnett had a career day. 31 points, 11 for 16 from the field, 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Merez Johnson goes for 8 rebounds. And Elliot Cadeau, 8 assists, no turnovers. 61% from the field, 52% from the 3-point line, 88% from the free throw line, 9 turnovers, 44 rebounds. They led for 97% of the game, and their largest lead was 46 as they blew Chrysler Center, the roof off of the Chrysler Center in pink night. Everybody wearing pink, pink shoes everywhere, student section decked out in pink. Michigan wins this game 110-69, improving themselves to 11-1. In the conference, tied with just Illinois, who they will be playing soon, but there's quite some time before they're going to do that. Their next game will be against that team from down south. Yes, they have to play Ohio State again in basketball this year. They're giving Michigan a 74% chance to win, 26% for Ohio State. Bruce Thornton leads them with 19.4 points per game. Devin Royal, 5.6 rebounds. Thornton also has 3.6 assists per game. Ohio State 3-2, losses to Michigan and Wisconsin. They beat Maryland, Penn State, and Minnesota in overtime. Michigan 5-0. Nebraska, Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Indiana in that last group of five. So we'll find out if Michigan can go into Value City Arena in Columbus, Ohio, and come out with a victory on Sunday, 1 p.m. on CBS, gearing you up for the Super Bowl. Michigan will also play Northwestern on the 11th before we talk again. But their leaders, Yaxel Landenborg, 14.3 points per game with 7.2 rebounds and 1.3 steals, with just 1.1 turnovers, shooting 50.2% from the field in 27.9 minutes of play. Merez Johnson, 13.7 points per game, shooting 69.3% from the field in 23.6 minutes of play. Elliot Cadeau, 10.3 points, 5.4 assists, just 2.5 turnovers per game. And then Ade Mara, half a steal, 2.8 blocks, and 7 rebounds per game as they score 91.4 points per game, 7th in the country, 41.8 rebounds per game for 20th in the country, and 19.3 assists per game for 13th in the country, only giving up 68.9 points per game. These two teams will also go into battle on the hockey arena as they will be playing in a 1v2 matchup. Michigan is the number one seed. Michigan State is the number two seed. This game will be going down in Detroit. And they have already played each other once this year. Going to get that for you here in just a moment. When they played earlier this year, they split. Michigan State lost the first game 0-3. Then they won the second game 3-1. So this time, the first game will be in Ann Arbor, which is Friday night. Then tonight, 6:30 p.m., you got Big Ten Network. The game is at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. 1v2, It's going to be a blockbuster matchup. We'll talk more after the break with our Pistons, maybe get in on the Super Bowl early, as we'll be talking about that for our picks as well. And then we'll get into our Red Wings in just a moment. But that's after the break with more Mid Madness here on 95.3. The Ticks. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3. The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about the Pistons as we step into Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons are 37-13. They're still first in the Central Division. Time for us to check in on the standings and where they land in the NBA. They are still 4.5 games above both the Knicks and the Celtics, who are 33-18. The Cavaliers are 31-21, 7 games behind. The Raptors, 7.5 games behind at 31-22. And the 76ers are 29-22 at 8.5 games behind. That is your top six who are currently in the playoffs for the Eastern Conference. Mavericks and Heat are both 11 games behind at 26-24, 27-25 respectively. The Hawks come in 12.5 games behind at 26-27, and 14 games behind at 24-28 are both the Bulls and the Hornets. The Hornets currently hold that tiebreaker, which has them locking in that last spot in the play-in. But looking at the league overall, the Pistons are still second. They are now only 2 games behind the Thunder, who are 40-12. The Spurs are 4.5 games behind the Thunder. That puts them 2.5 behind the Pistons at 35-16. And then you have the Knicks and Celtics rounding out the top 5. Pistons looking absolutely fantastic. They were just on a 3-game winning streak since the last time we talked. They did drop a game to the Suns, 114-96, but then they bounced back, took care of the Warriors, 131-124. And then they took care of the Nets, 130-77. Yes, you heard that correctly. They won by 53 points. A largest victory in Detroit Pistons team history. 130-77. And then they followed that up with a fantastic victory just the other night against the Nuggets, 124-121. This was a home game victory for the Pistons. Jamal Murray did everything he could to try and get the Nuggets a victory. He went 8 of 17, 12 of 13 from the free throw line for 32 points. Also had 8 assists with no turnovers in 37 minutes. And Nikola Jokic led them in the rebounding department with 15. They shot 45 from the field, 86 from the free throw line, 33 from deep, 10 turnovers, 43 rebounds. They did not lead at all in this game. The Pistons, meanwhile, had themselves a game, but almost coughed it up at the end. They shot 46 from the field, 41 from the three-point line, 87 from the charity stripe, 9 turnovers, 43 rebounds. They led for 97% of the game, and their largest lead was 20. Yeah, they led this league, or they led this game by 20 points at one point and ended up only winning by 3, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many you win by. It just matters that you win. Cade Cunningham, 9 for 19, 9 from 11 from the free throw line for 29 points. Also had 10 assists, 5 turnovers in 38 minutes of play. Jalen Duren led in rebounds with 13. The Pistons do sweep the Nuggets in this year's regular season series, 109-107 in game 1 on the 27th of January, and then 124-121 in this game to lock things up 2-0 in favor of Detroit. So a great way to take more control over these teams in the West, which some of them they have struggled against. The Nuggets are not one of them. Looking at the leaders for the Detroit Pistons, Cade Cunningham, 25.4 points per game, 9.8 assists, just 3.8 turnovers, and a shooting 46.1% from the field in 35.3 minutes of play. And then you have Jalen Duren, 17.7 points per game, shooting 63% from the field with 10.5 rebounds in 27.9 minutes of play. Sir Thompson, 1.9 steals, 1.5 turnovers, and 25.8 minutes of play. and Isaiah Stewart, 1.8 blocks, 0.3 steals, 5.3 rebounds. The team pours in 117.5 points per game, grabs 45.7 rebounds, and dishes out 26.7 assists per game. Now that we've talked about the leaders, well, there's also some news with the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to find it, and here it is. They did make a splash at the trade deadline. Chicago, Minnesota, and Detroit agreed to a multi-team deal that sent Jaden Ivey and Mike Conley to the Bulls, Kevin Huerter and Dario Saric to the Pistons. The Pistons also receive a 2026 first-round protected swap from Minnesota in the deal. The Bulls and Pistons fulfill desires with sharp shooting going to Detroit and young veteran guards heading to Chicago. Minnesota, meanwhile, did not receive a player in the deal, but moving Conley helps the Timberwolves financially. They are now under the first apron and dropped their luxury tax bill from $24 million to just $3.8 million. All four players in the deal are on expiring contracts. Huerter is averaging 10.9 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, 2.6 assists this season, and will be a much-needed long-range shooter for the Pistons, who pretty much just have Duncan Robinson helping out in that category. They currently are 27th in attempts and 28th in attempts per game going into Tuesday. Huerter could change that as he shoots 31.4% from deep and 37.1% in his career. So we'll see how that helps out the Pistons and what they're going to be able to do in the meantime with that much added success there. Let's talk about what the Pistons have coming up in their schedule over the next week when we do get a chance to talk to them again. Last night, Prime Video, they played the New York Knicks. You know how that played out. As you know, I record on Friday, so I was not able to know the outcome of that game before we got into all of this. Monday, they take on Charlotte at Charlotte, 7 p.m. They're starting a road trip down there. They'll take on Toronto on Wednesday, the 11th. At 7:30 p.m. And then another game on Prime Video, this one at the Madison Square Garden against the New York Knicks on the 19th. Those are the three games they have coming up. One of them will be played on national television, and that will be Thursday on Prime Video when they take on the New York Knicks. But very, very easy games for them outside of their Knicks. They have to play them twice over the next four games. But if they're able to win at least one of those, I see them maybe having a three-game win streak, four-game win streak. If they're able to win both of those, then they play Chicago on the road before they have a little bit tougher of a time. San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Cleveland, Orlando, Cleveland, San Antonio. That is quite the 7-8 game stretch, especially when you have to play San Antonio twice, Cleveland twice, and Oklahoma City. So we'll keep you updated on what's happening with the Pistons. But in the meantime, let's talk about a game that a lot of people are going to be looking forward to and are going to be watching this weekend. It goes out and down at Levi Stadium. It's going to be Sunday, 6:30 p.m. This year, the game will be on NBC and I believe Peacock as well. Yes, it will be on NBC and Peacock. 59.6% chance for Seattle to be the champions. 40.4% chance for New England. Not going to talk a ton about this game because we will be diving deeper into it later on in the picks for this game. But it is absolutely unreal that this is going to be happening. And these are the two teams that are here. We've seen this Super Bowl a couple of times already, and this is the most recent rendition based upon how the season played out. I mean, I think a big part of this is Bo Nix getting hurt right before the AFC Championship game, which awarded the Patriots a chance to play Jared Stidham in the AFC Championship game, and they almost blew it. First off, they only won that game 10-7. Granted, there was a lot of snow and things of that nature, but there were plenty of opportunities for the Broncos to steal that game away. And could you imagine the conversations we would be having if we were watching a Broncos-Seahawks championship where Jared Stidham was the starting quarterback instead of Bo Nix? First off, We're talking about the Seahawks being in the championship when Sam Darnold is their quarterback. We saw what he did for the Minnesota Vikings and how he was able to get them at, what were they, 11-5? 11-6 that year, 12-5, whatever it was, and then they made the playoffs, and then obviously things went downhill for them once they were in the playoffs. But man, he helped turn that team around like that. And before you knew it, we were talking about if they had a legitimate chance to see some success in the playoffs. Now, we looked up halfway through the season, the Seahawks, best team in the NFL, Sam Darnold leading them, and everyone going, well, do they have what it takes to get it all done? And everybody trying to point out the flaws and say, well, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. And well, here we are in February getting ready for the Super Bowl. And who's going to be in it? The Seattle Seahawks. Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks had what it took to get to this spot. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they only gave up 292 points in their 17 regular season games. And then we go over to the playoffs, and they only have given up 33 points in the playoffs. They gave up 6 to a whopping blowout of the 49ers, 41-6. And then they gave up 27 to the Rams in what was a fantastic NFC Championship game at Lumen Field, 31-27. But that's right on par with how great their defense has been all year. There's a reason the Seahawks are near the top of the NFL. We'll see what's going to happen tomorrow at Levi's Stadium. I hope that you're going to be enjoying the game. I still have to figure out my plans. So if you have some cool plans for me, let me know. Maybe I'll just end up watching it by myself. Who knows? I'm not 100% sure, but I'm excited to dive deeper into this when we get into our picks. I'm also excited to see if my picks are going to be right and what this game turns out. Obviously, the commercials are going to be huge, and the halftime show I'm looking forward to as well. That's it for this part of the segment. We'll touch in again with the Detroit Pistons the next week. When we get back from the break, we'll be talking about the Red Wings in Little Caesars Arena with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Carter Ostrous here for the Council for Responsible Energy. I want to share a few quick, simple, and inexpensive tips. It will not only reduce your home's energy use, but will also save you money on your utility bills. As you switch from heating to cooling, why not opt for a new programmable thermostat that will virtually pay for itself? This is one of the easiest things you can do to really see some significant savings. You can save about $180 a year by properly setting a programmable thermostat. Weather stripping can also significantly lower your bills. You just peel the backing off and seal up any leaks in drafty doors and windows. It only takes a few minutes, but you definitely notice a difference in both the temperature in the house and also your bills. And my last tip, check your home's insulation. Proper insulation in your attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, exterior and basement walls can save you 30% on home energy bills. It's a little bit more work for you, but your wallet will definitely thank you.
A message from the Council for Responsible Energy.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about the other team that plays inside of Little Caesars Arena on a professional setting, but with the ice down. It is the Detroit Red Wings. They are currently 33-19-6 for 72 points. Where does that land them in the Atlantic Division? Well, that has them tied for second with the Montreal Canadiens, who are 32-17-8 atop of the Atlantic Division. The Tampa Bay Lightning at 37-14-4, 78 points. You have the Sabres, 32-19-6 for 70, 32-20-5 for 69 are the Bruins. 63 points apiece are the Senators and Maple Leafs, who are 28-22-7, 27-21-9 respectively. And rounding out the Atlantic Division, the Florida Panthers at 29-25-3 for 61 points. In the Eastern Conference, the Red Wings are fourth, well, tied for third with the Canadiens. The Hurricanes are tied for first with the Lightning at 58 points at 36-15-6. The Penguins come in fifth at 29-15-12 for 70 points. The league overall, Red Wings are tied for sixth in the league. Three teams tied for second. The Avalanche still sit atop 83 points, 37-9-9. The Wild have 78 points at 34-14-10. 77 points are the Stars at 34-14-9. Looking over at the Red Wings, who are still doing a phenomenal job this season. DeBrincat leading the team in goals. He's got 205 shots for 11 power play goals and 30 goals overall. Lucas Raymond leads the team in points. He has 60. He's good for 19 goals, 41 assists. He has 17 power play assists, and his plus minus is 10. John Gibson is 2.62 goals against average. Save percentage up to .904. He's doing all of that on seeing 978 shots. He has 884 saves, which means he is only giving up 94 goals in all of his appearances. He has 22 wins on the season. The team scores 2.97 goals per game. They also give up 2.97 goals per game, which is good for 12th in the league. Their power play is 23.1%, good for 9th in the league, and their penalty kill at 79.6% is good for 15th in the league. Now they are about to go on a healthy hiatus as the Olympics are in action, along with the All-Star break is going to be coming up pretty soon as well. So they actually will not be playing another game until February 26th, and they will still be on the road. Last time we talked, they were preparing for a game against the Colorado Avalanche. They lost that game 5-0 at Little Caesars Arena. What did they do? Well, they turned around Monday night. They went on the road to Ball Arena in Colorado and then came out with a 2-0 victory over the number one team in the NHL. So it's not that the Red Wings can't compete with the best teams, because they surely can, and we see it week in and week out. It was just the Colorado had a good game when they came to Little Caesars Arena. The Red Wings turned it around and shut out victory on the road against that same team. But then Utah got the best of them. So they ended up getting swept by Utah by the same score. The Mammoth beat them 4-1 back on December 17th. Well, they turned around and they beat them 4-1 in this most recent game as well. I mean, they won 48.4% of the faceoffs. They had 13 penalty minutes, 15 hits, and 25 shots, did the Mammoth. I mean, the Red Wings pretty much outplayed them. They had 30 shots, 24 hits, 11 penalty minutes. They won 51.6% of the faceoffs. They just couldn't get goals in the back of the net. I think that is what is huge in this game, is that they went out and they scored goals in bunches. They scored goals in bunches, four of them to be exact. They had Sean Durzi with his fifth of the season unassisted. Nick Schmaltz had his 23rd of the season on the power play from Barrett Hayton and Clayton Keller. And then Dylan Gunther had an unassisted goal. So they were up 3-1 at the start, or 3-0, excuse me, at the start of the third period. And then Dylan Larkin finally gets the Red Wings on the board from James Van Riemsdyk and Moritz Seider. But then Clayton Keller gets the empty netter from Schmaltz and Cruz. And that is what has Utah winning 4-1. So not a ton to be happy about with the Red Wings headed into this break, except the fact that they're going into a break, which is good. They need some time to rest. They need some time to get healthy, to maybe get their heads back right. But at the same time, they are preparing for the Olympics. Well, some of them are preparing for the Olympics. I'm going to go to that hockey roster right now to see how many Red Wings are on that roster. Pulling up their 2026 Olympic men's roster. You have Dylan Larkin, who's going to be playing forward on the roster, and that is the only Red Wing who's going to be on the roster. But we do have guys like Zach Werenski, who went to the University of Michigan, going to be playing. Looks like that is, yep, Larkin's also University of Michigan guy coming from the Anaheim Ducks. Jackson Lacombe also played at the University of, he played at the University of Minnesota, but playing for the Minnesota Wild and graduating from the University of Michigan is Quinn Hughes. You obviously have Jack Hughes, who's also from Michigan, that's going to be playing in this game at, or in the Olympics as well. So a couple of Michigan guys, one Detroit Red Wing going to be getting his action in the Olympics. So not a ton to be excited for when it comes to Olympic play for hockey fans inside of Michigan, other than those three guys. But the main thing is that the Red Wings get a chance to breathe. They get a chance to prepare themselves, get healthy, and be ready for the gauntlet that is going to come after the Olympic break. The Avalanche are at the top of the power rankings heading into the Olympic break. They have the Red Wings at 7. This was their previous rank as well. The best player not on an Olympic roster would be Alex DeBrincat, but they can't help but to think of Patrick Kane, the greatest U.S.-born player of all time and what could have been his final Olympics for Team USA. Kane recently set the NHL record for most points by a U.S.-born player, surpassing Mike Modano with his 1,375th point. So Red Wings are in more than just the top half of the league. They're in that top 10. Obviously, they're playing against some of the best competition right now. They recently played the Avalanche in back-to-back games. They recently played the Lightning. They recently played the Wild. They also recently played Hurricanes. They have the Stars coming up. The Sabres were recently on the docket as well. So they're playing literally the hottest teams in the NHL right now, the best teams in the NHL right now, and they're having success. Sure, they're losing a game here and there, but that's expected. You're not going to win them all. I don't think we've ever seen an undefeated NHL team, and I don't think we ever will. There's just way too many games in a season for them to go out and have that much success. So, yes, I do think there's going to be dips and valleys within a hockey season, and the Red Wings are continuing to power through that. They're preparing for the Olympic break, the All-Star break, and then we'll have tons more to talk about on if the Red Wings will be able to see that continued success post the break and get themselves into a locked-in playoff spot. Right now, they're really battling for it because you got to be top three in that Atlantic division. They currently are holding that spot, but a couple more losses while a couple other more teams win, and we could be having a very different conversation. When we come back from the break, we'll be getting into our picks as we get ready to close down the weekend with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Time to get into one of my favorite parts of the show. It's all about the picks. And, well, you can play along with the picks anytime you would like by using the chat feature in the 95.3 Ticket app. You listen to the games that we decide to pick. It's always six, maybe a little more, depending on what action is going on. And then I deliberate, talk about what the metrics of the game look like, who's in, who's out, recent trends, make my decision after my research, give you my picks, and then you can do the same. The cool thing is you have extra time. You have extra resources at your hands. You can take all the time you want to fill out your picks. You can take all the research and deliberation you want to do and then see if you know ball better than I do. The thing is, Jacob thought he knew ball better than I did as well, and, well, he didn't. I beat him 2 times, we tied once, and he didn't beat me at all. You can give yourself a run for the prize if you would like, but, I mean, to be kind of transparent here, your boy is 91-53 in this rendition of picks, which just started in August, because we do it by football season. So when football season's over, we start a new rendition, and then we run it back again when football season comes back. So I'm more than well over 500, and the success is there. So to see if you know ball better than I do, hit that chat feature in 95.3 Ticket app and submit those picks. Last week I went 3-3 because Nebraska lost to Illinois, BYU lost to Kansas, and the Red Wings lost to the Avalanche on that Saturday game. But Florida did beat Alabama in convincing fashion. The Pistons took down the Nuggets by 3, and then Volkanovski took care of Lopez in amazing fashion in that fight over the weekend. So I got 6 more games loaded up, and this is the last week of this rendition of picks because football season finally comes to an end with the Super Bowl being on Sunday. So obviously we will pick that Super Bowl matchup, and then we have 5 college basketball games to deliberate and get into. But we'll start with the biggest matchup of the weekend, February 8th. That's tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. NBC and Peacock. It is Super Bowl. I think it's 55. Super Bowl 60. Excuse me. Super Bowl 60 this year. The 14-3, technically 16-3 Seattle will take on the 17-3 New England Patriots. This game will be at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. That's where the 49ers play. So the 49ers had a chance to play a home game for the Super Bowl and couldn't figure it out. The Seahawks will get a 59.6% chance to win for the matchup predictor from ESPN. 40.4% chance for New England. Seahawks open the game as 4.5-point favorites. The money line sits at -225, plus 185 for the Patriots, 45.5 on the over-under. Drake May did out-throw Sam Darnold, 354 on 492 for 4,394 yards, 31 touchdowns, and only 8 interceptions, while Sam Darnold, 323 for 477, 25 touchdowns for 4,048 yards and 14 interceptions. Kenneth Walker outrushed Travion Henderson, though. 221 carries for 1,027 yards, 5 touchdowns. Henderson, 180 carries, 9 touchdowns, 911 yards. Jackson Smith and Jigba had almost 800 more receiving yards than Stephon Diggs. And obviously, as we know, the defenses are the real stars for these two teams. The Patriots only gave up 320 points during the regular season. The Seahawks gave up 292. I think I'm going to lean on the side of caution and go with a team that has given up the fewest amount of points overall. Now, the Patriots, in their 3 playoff games, only gave up 26 points. That's only 7 more points, or 7 less points, than what the Seahawks did in 2 games. So the Patriots defense has played phenomenal and has been up to that par to win a Super Bowl, but I don't think they do it over the Seahawks, who have been phenomenal this year for a reason. A 2 seed out of the AFC taking on the 1 seed in the NFC. I got the 1 seed from the NFC coming out with the victory. And now we'll get back over into the hardwood. We'll start down in the ACC. Rivalry matchup going down between the 4th-ranked Duke Blue Devils taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels. This game, 6:30 p.m. on ESPN later today. 76.8% chance for Duke, 23.2% chance for UNC. Duke, 5.5-point favorites, -250 on the money line, plus 205 for North Carolina, 150.5 on the over-under. Cameron Boozer, 23.3 points, 9.9 rebounds, 4 assists, going against Caleb Wilson, who has 20 points and 9.8 rebounds. Kyan Evans leads them in assists with 3. He has 1.3 turnovers per game. Boozer only 2.2. They both score about 84 points per game. UNC gives up 70 points, while Duke just gives up 63. They're both around 50%, both around 40 rebounds, 17 assists, 3 blocks, but 8 steals for Duke and only 5. Well, just about 6 for UNC. We see minor differences here. There is a recent loss for North Carolina to Cal. They beat Notre Dame, Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Syracuse. Duke, their last 5, spotless. Boston College, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Wake Forest, and Stanford. I've got Duke winning this one because, I mean, they've just been on a tear in the ACC, and there's going to need to be a team that is better than them in the ACC to step up, and I'm just not sure I see that. So I have Duke winning this rivalry matchup, which gets us up into the Big Ten. Going down at the Breslin Center in East Lansing, the 5th-ranked Illinois Fighting Illini, who are 20-3, 11-1 in the Big Ten, will travel to take on the Michigan State Spartans, 19-4, 9-3 in the Big Ten. This game is later today, 8 p.m. on Fox. 48.3% chance for Illinois, 51.7% for Michigan State. 1.5-point favorites are the Spartans, negative 115 on the money line, but negative 105 for Illinois, 143.5 on the over-under. I mean, look at the record, spotless in the last five for Illinois. The two losses in a row to Michigan and Minnesota for Michigan State. As much as I want Michigan State to win this game inside because it's better for Michigan as a Michigan fan, I don't know if I trust them enough to actually go out and be on the level of Illinois recently. Illinois has played very good basketball, and that's why they're the fifth-ranked team in the country. Michigan State absolutely can bounce back, and it's great that this game is at the Breslin Center, but I'm just not in a position to trust Michigan State just yet. I'm going to take the Fighting Illini to grab this victory on the road against the Spartans to improve to a 12-1 in the Big Ten and keep putting pressure on the Michigan Wolverines for that Big Ten regular season title as they have a matchup with each other coming up in a few weeks. Back down to the Big 12 for a couple of matchups in a row. The first, the Houston Cougars, who are 8th in the country, are 20-2, 8-1 in the Big 12. We'll take on the 16th-ranked BYU Cougars, 5-4 in the Big 12, 17-5 in the country overall. This is the 10:30 p.m. game later today. 58.8% chance for Houston, 41.2% chance for BYU. Houston's lone loss is to Texas Tech by 4. BYU also lost to Texas Tech, but they lost to them by 13. They've lost to Arizona by 3, Kansas by 6, and Oklahoma State by 7 since then as well. A lone victory to Utah in their last 5. So they're 1-4 in their last 5. Meanwhile, Houston is 4-1, wins over UCF, Cincinnati, TCU, and Arizona State in that time span as well. Kingston Fleming's has been phenomenal, including a 42-point game earlier this year in that loss to Texas Tech. So that's something to keep their eyes on as well. I think Houston wins this Big 12 matchup with really no problems whatsoever. I have Houston continuing to raise their resume and try and lock down a high seed in the NCAA tournament. That's going to get us over into our other game in the Big 12. Another ranked matchup. This one going down on Monday. This game goes down on Monday. The Arizona Wildcats, 22-0, 9-0 in the Big 12. One of two remaining NCAA Division I men's basketball teams left. Only two of them are undefeated. And Arizona is one of them. The other is Miami of Ohio. Arizona, 57.3% chance to win, 42.7 for Kansas. This game at 9 p.m. on Monday on ESPN. Kansas 17-5, 7-2 in the Big 12. As of now, this will change come Saturday. They're both 5-0 entering their games over the weekend. They both have wins over BYU. But also the difference is wins over Arizona State, West Virginia State, Cincinnati, and UCF. Kansas wins over Texas Tech, Kansas State, Colorado, and Baylor. I think this game is one of the most anticipated matchups over the next couple of weeks. This is one of the few teams that can give Arizona a run for their money. This is one of the few teams that will try and end that undefeated streak for Arizona. The game is at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas, which makes a huge difference. Darren Peterson, if he's able to play all game, could be a huge help. So we'll find out what Kansas has. But I have Arizona remaining undefeated, even on the road, in a game that may come down to the last few seconds or even overtime. Our last game of the week is in the Big Ten. This game goes down on Tuesday, 7 p.m. on FS1. It's the 12th-ranked Purdue Boilermakers, who are 18-4, 8-3 in the Big Ten, taking on the 9th-ranked Nebraska Cornhuskers, 20-2, 9-2 in the Big Ten. Nebraska, a 50.8% chance to win. Purdue, a 49.2% chance to win. These teams are very, very similar. 83 points per game for Purdue, 80 for Nebraska. 69 points given up for Purdue, 66 for Nebraska. 51% from the field for Purdue, 47 for the Cornhuskers. Both about 36 rebounds per game. 20 assists for Purdue, 18 for Nebraska. They both have about three blocks. Purdue, 6 steals. Nebraska, 7. Nebraska, 2 losses in a row to Michigan and Illinois. Meanwhile, Purdue has losses to Indiana, Illinois, and UCLA with wins over Maryland and USC. Wins for Nebraska, Northwestern, Washington, and Minnesota. To me, I think Nebraska has been the better team this year. I'm going to rock with the better team in this one. I'm going to take Nebraska to win this game at home. Purdue will be looking to try and keep pressure and try and win the top of the Big Ten. I mean, at 8-3, they're not out of it, but they're 2.5 games behind the leaders, so they're going to need some help here. This would be a huge win, but I think Pinnacle Bank Arena sees a Nebraska win for in Lincoln, which gives me the Seahawks, Duke, Illinois, Houston, Arizona, and Nebraska. We got the Super Bowl playing tomorrow, and that's going to be starting at 2 p.m. Enjoy the weekend. I'll be doing the same. We'll see you next week with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.